It's Christmas on Tuned to Yesterday. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, holiday programs. Later on, it's Burns and Allen from Christmas Eve 1941. But first, we kick off part one of a 26-part series. It's The Cinnamon Bear, a holiday radio tradition from its inception in 1937 all the way up through the 1950s. And even today, the series was specifically designed to be listened to 6 days a week, part one airing the day after Thanksgiving and part 26 on Christmas Eve. Here on Tuned to Yesterday, we'll be bringing you the 26-part series by doubling up the episodes for each hour, making it a 13-part listening experience. Episode 1 next, called Patio Cinnamon, first heard on November 29, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
This is the story of the Cinnamon Bear and his very marvelous adventures with Judy and Jimmy Barton. But we can't very well meet the Cinnamon Bear until we meet Judy and Jimmy. They are twins, and they live in a big, old-fashioned house. At this very minute, they're in the upstairs sitting room, and from all I can hear, Judy and Jimmy are busily engaged in that very pleasant task of writing letters to Santa Claus. Let's listen.
How are you getting along with your letter, Jimmy?
Oh, pretty well. Guess I've got about everything down here.
Now, don't go asking for everything the way you did last year.
Oh, you girls are all alike. I bet you if we counted the things in your letter and the things in mine, you'd have the most.
I bet you I wouldn't either.
You would.
Well, I won't argue about it. But I bet you my letter's more dignified than yours. Now, stop bothering me so I can finish it. Let me see. P.S. And Santa, there's just one thing more I'd like. A nice red V.L. That's not right. Jimmy, how do you spell velocipede?
Velocipede. V.A. Oh, you're too old for a velocipede anyway.
I guess maybe you're right.
Judy? Jimmy?
Yes, Mother?
Right here, Mother.
Have you finished those letters to Santa Claus yet? Uh-huh.
Yes.
That's good, because we've something very important to do.
What's that, Mother?
What do you suppose I have in these cardboard boxes here?
I know. Our Christmas tree ornaments.
Yes. And you promised us we could help you go through them to see if any of them were broken.
Right.
Oh, let's hurry, Mother. I can't wait.
Just a minute. I'll put them right here on the table.
Oh, boy.
I hope that little pink Santa Claus didn't get broken.
We'll see.
Oh. Aren't they beautiful?
I'll say. I like those big gold ones especially.
Everything seems to be pretty much in order. All the tinsel is here, the lights. Everything seems to be here except...
Except what, Mother?
Well, I can't see the silver star anywhere.
You mean the big one we always put way up on top of the tree?
Yes, but I don't see it in any of the boxes.
Oh, gee, Mom. I'd feel most awful if anything happened to that old silver star.
Me too. Well, we've had it on top of our tree for years and years. Christmas wouldn't be Christmas without the silver star.
Now, don't cry, Judy. It's probably just misplaced. I remember Uncle Jed took some things up to the attic last year after Christmas. Perhaps he put it away up there.
Could we go up and look for it, Mother?
I don't like to have you running around in that old attic. You might get hurt. Besides, it's too cold.
But, Mother, please, we've just got to find the silver star, and we have our sweaters on.
All right. But you've got to promise to be careful and not stay too long.
We won't, Mother. Honest, we won't. Where should we look first?
If Uncle Jed put it away, it's probably in that big trunk in the corner by the window. Be careful you don't hurt your fingers when you open it.
We'll be careful. Come on, Jimmy.
Okay, here we go, up the stairs.
Now, don't run, children. You might fall and get hurt.
All right, Mother, dear. Last one up the fraidy cat.
Jeepers. They sure are steep stairs.
Yeah. They're a lot steeper than Mary Louise has at her house.
I bet these are the steepest stairs in the world.
Sure they are.
Whew. Here we are. I beat and you're a fraidy cat.
You didn't either, Beat. I got here at the same time, and I'm not a fraidy cat.
All right, then, we both beat.
Okay. But if we both beat, who is a fraidy cat?
Oh, Charlie Simpson's a fraidy cat.
Yeah. Gee, there sure is a lot of stuff up in this attic.
Yeah, just look at all the suitcases and boxes and things.
Yeah, and there's that old spinning wheel and the music box. And...
Oh, Judy, there's the old trunk Mother told us to look in.
Must be awful full of things. The top isn't closed all the way down.
Well, you get on one side, Judy, and I'll get on the other. And then we can both lift at the same time.
All right, Jimmy. Gee, that was kind of heavy. Oh, look, Jimmy. There's one of those old crazy quilts right on top. Take it off and we'll see what's underneath.
Okay. There. Mmm. Smells like mothballs, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Do you see the silver star anyplace?
Uh-uh. Just a lot of old clothes and stuff. Let's lift this top thing out. Come on, Judy, help me.
All right.
Now, let's see. Say, here's a small box of ornaments.
But they're all broken, Jimmy. And the silver star isn't there.
Gee, here's one that's not broken. It's a pretty little airplane. It's made out of gold glass or something.
We'd better take that downstairs with us. Why don't you put it someplace where it won't get broken?
I'd better, I guess. I'll just set it on top of this old dresser here. Anything else, Judy?
You bet. Look at this, Jimmy. A little teddy bear with a green ribbon around his neck. Gee, he isn't any more than 4 inches high. I wonder where he came from.
I don't know. Look, look what I found, Judy. A real honest-to-goodness telescope. Isn't it a dandy?
It's scrumptious. I bet that belonged to Uncle Jed when he was a sailor.
I bet so, too. It sure is a wonderful telescope. When I look through it, everything seems a million times bigger. Boy, I bet if I was out on the roof, I could see clear over to England.
Farther than that, maybe. You know what, Jimmy?
What?
Teddy bear is the teeniest one I've ever seen.
Sure is. Say, Judy, I bet if we looked at him through this telescope, he'd be a lot bigger.
Let's see, shall we? I'll lean him against the back of the trunk and you look.
All right. Now, just wait till I get it fixed. Jiminy crickets.
What do you see, Jimmy?
Willikers. He looks bigger than anything. Take a look, Judy.
Let me see. Goodness. He is big, isn't he? Why, he looks almost as big as we are, only he really isn't.
If you'd move over a little, Judy, we could both look at the same time. There. That's it. Can you see him?
Plain as day.
Judy, he moved. The bear moved. Didn't you see him moving?
I thought I did, but...
Sure he moved. Gosh,
the rock.
Judy, listen. He made a noise.
Maybe it was just a... creaky board.
No, it wasn't any creaky board. It was that bear, and I'm going to talk back to him.
Oh, Jimmy, maybe you better hadn't.
Oh, don't get scared. He can't hurt you. He's really only 4 inches high. Hey, you teddy bear.
Garoo.
Oh.
Did you hear him, Judy? Did you hear him? He growled at me.
Ooh, he did, didn't he? Say, Jimmy, ask him if he's a really, truly live real bear.
All right. Hey, teddy bear, tell us, who are you?
I'm the cinnamon bear with the shoe-button eyes, and I'm looking for someone to take by surprise. I go prowling and growling each night after dark, but the folks say my growl's just a cinnamon bark. Though I growl,
garah,
and I growl,
garoo,
my victims only say, oh, who's afraid of you? I'm the cinnamon bear with the shoe-button eyes, and I'm huffy and fluffy and tough for my size. I devour lots of honey and cinnamon buns just to make me ferocious, but nobody runs. Now I'll growl.
Hurrah!
And I'll growl.
Garoo!
And if you'll act afraid, I'm much obliged to you.
Oh, that was wonderful, Cinnamon Bear.
Garoo!
Jimmy, let's pretend we're really afraid, huh? It'll make him feel good.
Oh, all right.
Oh, don't give us a scare like that again, Mr. Bear.
Garah.
Oh, Judy, I'm scared.
Garoo.
Oh, Jimmy, hold my hand tight.
Sure, and did I really frighten you?
Terribly.
You just about scared the daylights out of us.
Well, I promise not to frighten you anymore. That is, not until me ferocious nature gets the better of me again. Now, would you be kind enough to tell me your names? I always keep a record of the people I scare.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm his sister, Judy.
I'm much obliged to meet you, I'm sure. Me name's Paddy O'Sullivan.
That sounds Irish.
Sure, I'm slightly Irish. That's why I wear this green ribbon around me neck. But tell me, what are you two doing up here?
Well, we lost the silver star that goes on top of the Christmas tree.
Have you ever seen it, Cinnamon Bear?
The silver star? Did it have 5 points?
I think so.
Sure, I've seen it lots of times.
Oh, show us where the silver star is, Cinnamon Bear.
Oh, it's not here now. It's gone.
Gone?
Oh, dear, what shall we ever do now?
Well, who took it?
Why, the crazy quilt dragon, to be sure.
Who is he?
Oh, just a dragon. Not a very good one at that. He's terribly fond of shiny, bright things. Every day for the past month, he's been running into the trunk to admire the silver star. And this afternoon, it got the best of him, I guess. He just upped and ran off with it.
Oh, now we'll never, never see the silver star again.
Here, now, don't carry on like that. You can get the silver star back. Well, maybe.
How?
By going after the crazy quilt dragon. Chase him. I'll help you.
Will you really?
Oh, sure I will. Crazy Quilt's no great friend of mine. And besides, you were both very obliging and got perfectly terrified when I growled at you.
Oh, you're the most wonderful Cinnamon Bear in the whole wide world.
It's very nice of you to say it.
Well, if we're going to catch up with the Crazy Quilt dragon, we better get going.
Where do you think he went, Patty?
Well, if I know Crazy Quilt, he probably headed for the Lollipop Mountains.
The Lollipop Mountains? Well, how do we get there?
You see that little hole in the wall by the music box?
Yes.
Well, we just pop right through there.
Oh, but Patty, Judy and I can't get through that little hole.
Oh, yes, you can. It's very simple, really. All you and Judy have to do is degrow.
What do you mean, degrow?
Oh, just degrow. Get smaller and smaller and smaller until you're only 4 inches high, like me.
Gosh, we can't do that. Why, it's impossible.
Nothing's impossible. I can show you how to do it in a jiffy.
Phew, that sounds most magical.
Willikers, show us how, Patty. Quick.
All right. Now listen very carefully. And I'll tell you how to degrow.
Well, well. If the Cinnamon Bear can show Judy and Jimmy how to degrow until they're only 4 inches high, then as Judy says, it really will be most magical. And maybe they'll be able to catch the Crazy Quilt Dragon and recapture their precious silver star after all. Anyway, be sure to listen next time and find out just how the Cinnamon Bear manages to make Judy and Jimmy only 4 inches high.
Part 1 of The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday from November 29th, 1937. This is an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lipponier. Now on to episode 2 of 26 of The Cinnamon Bear called Weary Willie, heard on November 30th, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
We go with the story of Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear. If you'll remember, the twins went up into the attic to hunt for a missing Christmas tree ornament, the Silver Star. While searching through an old trunk, they found a little toy Cinnamon Bear only 4 inches tall. But when they looked at him through the big telescope, he got very much larger and started to talk to them. What's more, he told Judy and Jimmy that he could show them how to degrow until they were just as small as he, so they could all chase the Crazy Quilt Dragon who had stolen their beautiful silver star out of the trunk. At this very minute, Judy is mighty anxious to learn all about this business of bee growing.
Please hurry and tell us how to get small cinnamon bear.
Of course, of course. Well, it's really quite simple, you know. It's all in the way you look at it. Now just, pardon me a moment. Do you mind very much if I make one special growl at this spider here? He's been making faces at me, and it's very distracting.
All right, but please hurry.
It won't take a second. One, two. Grrrra. He ran so fast you could hear him whistle. That's a most effective growl, don't you think?
Of course. It's wonderful, Cinnamon Bear. But we've just got to get smaller right away, or we'll never get Crazy Quilt.
Oh, yes. Let's see now. As I was saying, it's all in the way you look at it. We're only as big as we see we are.
I don't understand what you mean, Cinnamon Bear.
Well, you're used to seeing yourself the way you are now, about 4.5 feet high. Now, when you look at me through the small end of the telescope, I'm big, aren't I?
Uh-huh.
When you look through the small end, things look bigger. But if you turn the telescope around and look through the big end, they look smaller.
Oh.
Now, Jimmy, you take the telescope and look at Judy through the big end.
All right. Now, hold still, Judy. Oh, my goodness, but you're little. Why, you're no bigger than Cinnamon Bear.
Let me look at you, Jimmy. I bet you're just as tiny as I am. Oh, Jimmy, you're only about 4 inches high. Really?
There. Now, the only thing you children have to do to be small is to see yourselves that way.
But how are we going to do that, Cinnamon Bear?
Yes, that's what I'd like to know. We can see each other through the telescope, all right, but how can we see ourselves?
Sure, and it's simple. The first thing you do is put the telescope up on top of that dresser over there, the one with the looking glass. Fix it so the small end is next to the looking glass, and then look at yourselves through the big end. And presto, change-o, you'll be as small as me.
Isn't it fun, Jimmy? Regular magic.
Sure is, all right. Now, come on and help me put this telescope on top of the dresser. It's pretty heavy.
Mm-hmm.
There. We're all set now.
Now, wait. I almost forgot something. I'd appreciate you putting me on the top of the dresser before you degrow. I'll have a hard time getting up there by myself.
Of course, Cinnamon Bear. Just hang on to my finger tight.
Okay.
And up you go.
Thank you, Judy. Now you two can look through the telescope.
All right.
There. Why, I can see you and me, Judy.
So can I. And we look so tiny wee.
Oh, gee willikers.
Do you feel funny, Jimmy?
Awful funny.
Other end of the telescope.
And look how big everything is. Why, look way over there, Judy. The trunk seems as big as a mountain.
And just a minute ago, we were taller than it is.
Well, well, how do you like being only 4 inches high?
All right, I guess. Sure is funny, though. I wonder what Mother would say if she could see us now, Judy.
She probably couldn't see us unless she looked awful hard.
Well, we better get started now if we want to catch the Crazy Quilt Dragon. He's got a pretty big head start.
Where do we go, Cinnamon Bear?
Right through that hole in the wall.
Why? Well, we were down on the floor a while ago. It was only a tiny little hole. Now it looks like a tunnel.
That's exactly what it is, Judy. A tunnel. And it leads to Maybeland.
Maybeland? But you said the Crazy Quilt Dragon probably headed for the Lollipop Mountains.
Sure, and the Lollipop Mountains are located in Maybeland. Come on, let's get started.
Oh, dear. How are we ever going to get down off this big high dresser, Cinnamon Bear?
In me aeroplane, to be sure.
Why, look, Judy. Over on the other side of the dresser. It's that gold glass aeroplane I found in the trunk.
Only now it's great big.
But, Cinnamon Bear, we can't go anywhere in that. Why, it's only a Christmas tree ornament.
That's where you're very mistaken, Jimmy. That happens to be me very own extra private aeroplane, and it flies beautifully.
It does?
It certainly does. Absolutely, and if you want to know what, I once made a transroute beer oceanic flight in it. Come along now.
Why, look, Judy, it has a motor and everything. What does it run on, Cinnamon Bear?
All the motors in Maybeland run on soda pop. Now, you and Judy climb in first.
All right. Oh, gee, this is wonderful. When do we start?
In a second, Judy. Can you jiggle that lever while I get the propeller going, Jimmy?
Sure. This one?
That's right.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm so excited.
Contact. Give me a minute now, and we'll be off for Maybeland. Here we go.
Whee!
Oh, gee!
Oh. I'll just circle the room a couple of times, and then we'll head for the tunnel.
Oh, watch where you're flying, Cinnamon Bear. Just missed hitting the trunk.
I'm sorry, Judy. Hold tight now. Here we go into the tunnel.
It's awful dark in here. How can you see, Cinnamon Bear?
My shoe button eyes are specially good, you know. Anyway, it won't be dark for long. We're nearly through the tunnel already. Can't you see the light ahead?
Sure enough. Why, look, we're outside. Oh, Jimmy, isn't it wonderful?
Phew. Why, it's the most beautiful place I've ever seen. Is this what you call Maybeland?
Indeed.
Do lots of people live here?
Scads and scads of them. All kinds of dolls and little animals and funny creatures you probably never even heard of.
Are they all nice like you, Cinnamon Bear?
Some are rather bad, they tell me, but of course I haven't met all the inhabitants of Maybeland be a long way.
Oh, it's just like a dream. What is this place we're flying over now?
Those are the Lollipop Mountains, Judy. All those different colors you see down there are lollipop trees.
Look, is that the Crazy Quilt Dragon?
Where?
Way over there, on top of that shiny cliff.
Yes, sirree, it's Crazy Quilt, all right. And that's a cliff at the top of Looking Glass Valley. It's made entirely of looking glass. He probably picked the spot so he could bend over and admire his reflection. He's very vain.
Let's hurry and catch him.
We must be specially cautious. Mustn't let him know we're after him. We'd better circle over Looking Glass Valley. You know, just as if we were looking at the view and then get around in back of him and take him be surprised.
That's a fine idea.
My, isn't it bright, Judy?
Just like looking up above you, because it reflects the sky and everything.
Hello there!
Did you hear somebody call?
Yes, over there. Oh, me, it's that awful stork.
Stork?
Yes, Weary Willy, and he's a terrible nuisance. Always going around in short pants and bragging about his wonderful travels. You know, he's a globetrotter and he writes books. But don't pay any attention to him.
I say, hello there and cheerio.
It seems sort of impolite not to say hello to him.
Oh, very well. But I warn you, he's no good at all. No good at all. Hello, Weary Willy.
Greetings, my friends, greetings. Could you perchance accommodate a weary wayfarer in your airplane? I've wandered many a mile and I'm most fatigued.
Of course not, silly. You're bigger than our airplane is and you leave us alone. We're busy.
Look, Jimmy, isn't he funny? He's wearing short pants like a mountain climber or something.
And look at those horn-rimmed glasses. Look at that silly hat with a feather in it. He's the funniest stork I ever saw.
Far be it from me to intrude where I am obviously not welcome. Of course, I cannot always expect people to be magnanimous or sensible of the extreme honor I am conferring on them by offering
to ride. Whatever in the world is he talking about, Cinnamon Bear?
Don't pay any attention to him. He thinks he should talk that way because he has a diploma and writes books.
I'll overlook your insinuations, Paddy O'Cinnamon. If you cannot assist me in my plight, my young friends, perhaps you have the wherewithal to aid and abet in quenching my most ravenous thirst.
He means he's thirsty. Will you please go away, Weary Willy? We're in a very great hurry to catch the Crazy Quilt Dragon, who made off with a silver star that belongs to me friends.
Oh, indeed. A daring fellow, that Crazy Quilt.
Yes, and furthermore, the only liquid we have on board is the soda pop that runs the aeroplane. So scram.
Oh, soda pop. Delectable. What flavor?
Oh, raspberry.
Raspberry? Oh, that will do admirably.
What does he mean?
My goodness. He's picking up all the soda pop gas.
Ah. Oh, that was delicious, my friends. Top hole. Thank you, thank you. Now I believe I'll just fly over and tell Crazy Quilt you're chasing him. Perchance I should say we're chasing him. See you later. Pip, pip.
Oh, he's flying away, Cinnamon Bear. You bad old stork. Shame on you.
We're beginning to drop.
Don't be afraid. We'll make it all right.
We're going right down in Looking Glass Valley.
Yes, and I can see our reflection coming up to meet us. Whee!
Oh, gee.
Oh, Jimmy!
Hold tight.
Oh, my.
Are you all right, children?
Sure. That was nothing.
I'm all right, too, Cinnamon Bear. But I'm awful angry with that mean old Weary Willy stork.
So am I, and if I ever catch him, I'll make him molt where he doesn't expect to.
It sure puts us in a fix. How can we ever get out of this valley? The sides are all made of looking glass, and they're straight up and down.
I don't want to frighten you, children, but this is really more serious than you think. Really.
What do you mean, Cinnamon Bear?
Will you promise me not to get scared?
We promise. We're not afraid.
Well, I know all about this looking glass valley. I flew down here last year and explored it from one end to the other, and I found out...
What?
Unless you have an aeroplane or can fly...
Yes?
There is absolutely, positively no way to get out.
My, my. Our adventurers really are in a pickle, aren't they? Out of soda pop gas on the shiny floor of Looking Glass Valley, with sides too steep to be climbed, and to make matters even more unbearable, the Crazy Quilt Dragon still has the Silver Star. Let's be sure to listen next time and see what becomes of Judy and Jimmy and the Cinnamon Bear.
The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday, Part 2 of 26, first heard on November 30th, 1937. This is an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Now time for Burns and Allen with the episode known as Gracie's Christmas Dream, a CBS broadcast from December 24th, 1941.
Hello, are you there? Well, we're here, and we've got Edna Mae Oliver with us. Back.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 ways better swamp soap.
George Burns and Gracie Allen. Sure, it's the new Burns and Allen show. Now we take you to their home the night before Christmas. The tree has been decorated, and George has gone to bed. Only Gracie and Herman, their little duck, are still downstairs in front of the fireplace.
Now, Herman, it's 11 o'clock, and it's time all good little ducks were fast asleep. Herman Burns, you go right to sleep. Well, all right. I'll tell you a bedtime story. Then will you go to sleep? Now, once upon a time, there was a little girl. She was very, very beautiful and very, very smart, and her name was Gracie. Well, one day she put on her red dress that she bought at Magnum's and took a short cut through the woods to visit her grandmother. And on the way, she met a valiant prince. The valiant prince. He was awful strong and handsome like your daddy, George. He was awful strong. All right, so he was awful like your daddy. But when she got to her grandmother's, the Wicked Witch... Huh? The Wicked Witch. Oh. Remember the night we went to the movies and saw Edna Mae Oliver? That's right. Anyway, the Wicked Witch ate up little Gracie's grandmother and went to bed without even washing the dishes. Yes, she was very untidy. So they lived happily ever after. Now go to sleep. No, Herman, you're not going to get a double feature. Now go to sleep. And if you're a good little duck, your mama will take you way up to the North Pole to see Santa Claus. And the North Pole is way, way, way... Well, it's so far that you couldn't even get up there without a magic carpet. Well, he finally fell asleep. Oh, Herman, I'm getting sleepy myself. Oh, take Herman. Santa Claus, North Pole, magic carpet. Workshop. Oh, stocking. You get your Christmas wish, lots and lots of fish. Oh, ducky, you're gonna get the best from Santa Claus. Because ducky, he knows that you've been good, like little ducky should. Oh, ducky, he'll make you happy, wait and see. Oh, hold on, Herbert. Santa Claus has quite a knack for making things you break your back for. He has a great big sack for all the toys that you could quack for. Ducky, you get a swimming pool to keep your feathers cool. Oh, Ducky, you're mighty lucky, Ducky Bucky. Santa's workshop. Hold on, Herman. Oh, my goodness. I'll have to get the brakes on this carpet rewoven. Oh. Gee, it's quiet up here. Where's Santa Claus?
Here I am.
Crying? You can't be Santa Claus.
Oh, sure I am, Gracie. I'm Kris Kringle in the flesh.
Oh, well, why are you crying? Did you forget to write yourself a letter?
No, the Wicked Witch stole all my Christmas toys. And now I won't have any presents to give to the good little boys and girls who brush their teeth. Or their feathers.
Ah.
Alas and a whack, Gracie. Christmas will be a flop-over.
Oh, don't cry, Santa Claus. Be brave and strong like I am. Oh, imagine no presents for all little kitties. Or ducks.
Oh, look, here comes Aladdin.
Oh, Aladdin, good. All he's got to do is rub his magic lamp, and then he'll get us out of all this trouble.
Santa, listen, I'm in a terrible mess. Hello, Gracie.
Hello, Al.
Listen, Santa, the Wicked Witch stole my lamp. She cast a spell and made herself look like Lana Turner. Then she offered to hold the lamp while I kissed her.
Oh, that's awful.
Well, that isn't the worst of it. When she got the lamp, she broke the spell. You should see the difference between what I started to kiss and what I got through kissing.
Oh, poor Aladdin. So the Wicked Witch twitched you and stole your magic lamp?
Yes, Santa. And what a lamp. All you had to do was wish for anything you want and rub it.
Yeah.
And out came swan soap.
No genie.
Genie? Who wants a genie when you can get swan? Why, swan is a brand new white floating soap that's 8 ways better than old style floating soaps.
If you rubbed the lamp and got swan soap, what would you get if you rubbed the soap?
Suds, suds, and more suds. Why, swan gives loads of rich, creamy suds. And twice as fast, too, even in the hardest water. That's why swan is not only great for washing the dishes, but it's also swell for hankies and hose and lingerie.
Lingerie? What's that?
Well, come here, Santa.
Oh, really? Well, up here, we wear wet flannels.
Yes, and swan wears a green wrapper with a white swan on her front.
Carpet is that parked outside in front of the fire club?
Well, it's mine, officer.
Well, you'd better be moving it, or I'll be giving you a ticket.
Aha! And would a big, handsome lad like yourself, all decked up in the nice blue uniform, be after giving a little Irish collie a ticket?
That lolly will do you no good. I'm an Eskimo.
Come, Herman, we're going. Ah! Well, we've got to get Santa's toys back. And Santa Claus, when I find the Wicked Witch, I'll send Herman back here. You jump on his back and fly to the castle.
Oh, I'm too heavy. It's impossible for me to fly on a little duck's back.
Oh, nothing's impossible for a man who can be at the May Company and Bullocks at the same time. Come on, Herman. The magic carpet is waiting. Well, we're off to find the witch.
Hey there. How about a lift?
Who's that? Oh, it's a hitchhiker on top of that iceberg. I'll pull up and give him a ride. Well, how far my magic carpet? We're in a big hurry.
Thanks, lady. Well, I'm certainly glad you came along. What
was that that just passed us?
Oh, a couple of those high school kids on a piece of linoleum.
Darn those jalopies.
Well, who are you?
Who am I? I'm the bravest man in the world.
Why, Errol Flynn. What happened to your face?
That's not my name. I'm Prince Valiant.
Oh, how dear. I'm Gracie.
I'm the world's greatest hero. I fear no man. I fear no beast. Take him away. Take him away. Help. Help.
Oh, he won't hurt you. That's just my little duck.
Oh.
Herman, stick your wing out. I'm going to make a turn. You know, Prince Valiant, there's something very familiar about your face. Were you ever in vaudeville?
I still am. I just finished a split week at Lowe's North Pole.
Oh. Well, I knew your face was familiar.
Well, I'm thinking about a new act, and I'm looking for a leading lady. Maybe you'd like to support me.
You know, there's something familiar about that, too.
I guess I should have stayed on the iceberg.
Well, I better land and find out where I am.
Oh, look. Here comes a little boy down the road.
Hello.
Hello. I'm very hungry. Have you some supper I can sing for?
What's your name?
Little Tommy Tucker.
Oh. Well, here, have a Swiss cheese sandwich. You can eat it and sing through the holes at the same time.
Thanks.
Beautiful dreamer, wake unto me. Starlight and dewdrops are waiting for thee. Sounds of the rude world heard in the day, lulled by the moonlight, have all passed away.
Tommy Tucker?
Tell me, do you have to sing for your supper every night?
Yes, or the Wicked Witch will cut off one of my legs.
Oh, she wouldn't do that.
No, she only says that to scare me. Well, I've got to be hopping along.
Well, goodbye. Come on, Herman, we've got to find that Wicked Witch. Oh, I'll tell that Wicked Witch a thing or two, believe me. You just wait till I see that Wicked Witch.
Oh, you would like to see the Wicked Witch, eh? My guileless one.
Oh, hello. Nice day, isn't it?
It's beastly. But I'm hoping it will cloud up. Little does she realize that I'm the Wicked Witch in the flesh. What there is of it.
Well, I'll see you later, Gracie.
Do you live around here?
Who knows where I live? One day a lonely castle in the hills, the next a crowded city street. Today a villa by the sea, tomorrow a mountain retreat.
Oh, my, how you do it? We've been trying to break our lease for months.
I've had enough of this shilly-shallying, me girl.
Do you know, you look exactly like someone I've seen in the movies. Now, let me see.
Well, is it Annie Sheridan, or are we going to argue about it?
Annie Sheridan? Oh, no, I'm not that silly. Oh, I know who it was. Shirley Temple.
Don't be fantastic. There's a good 20 years difference between us. And a few bad ones, too.
Well, it's been awfully nice meeting you, but I really must be going.
Wait! You're looking for the Wicked Witch, eh? And just what do you want to see her for?
Well, because I've got to get Santa's toys back.
Oh, I see. You know what the Wicked Witch will do to you? She will transform you into a pain-racked mass of quivering flesh. Then wring your pretty neck and toss your body to the vultures.
Oh, you're sweet. Well, you shouldn't worry about me. In fact, I'm a little worried about you.
About me? Why, may I ask?
Well, you're all alone out here in the woods, and there might be some men hanging around.
A man where?
Oh. I don't suppose you could direct me to the castle of the Wicked Witch.
Just straight ahead. You can't miss it. The walls are made from bones of skeletons, and the cornices are decorated with human skulls.
Oh, well, I couldn't live in a house like that.
Why not?
No barbecue pits. Well, thanks anyway.
You're quite welcome. Little does she know that I have given her the wrong direction. The treacherous swamps lie in her path. Those swamps have killed hundreds of men. Darn it.
Well, goodbye. Come on, little ducky.
Hey, what a cute little duck.
Oh, yes, he's just like my own son. His name is Herman.
Oh, indeed. Little does she know that tonight I shall dine on roast Long Island Herman. Well, goodbye.
She's gone. She's disappeared. Come, Herman. We've got to find... Herman? Where's Herman? Herman! Herman!
Gracie, are you still in trouble or can I come back?
Oh, valiant prince. Herman is missing. He must have been ducknapped.
Ducknapped? Then the woman you were talking to must have been the Wicked Witch herself.
Well, how do you like that? And she talks just like a Vassa girl.
Look, there's a duck feather.
Oh, and there's another one. Herman must be pulling out his tail feathers to leave a trail. Well, now we can find the Wicked Witch's castle. Come on, let's go.
Look, there's another feather.
Oh, I hope poor Herman isn't catching cold. Oh, look, he's got a blimp up there.
Hello, kids.
That's no blimp. That's Humpty Dumpty sitting on a wall.
Oh, gee, isn't he big and round? He must be at least 65 cents a dozen.
Say, Humpty Dumpty, we're looking for the Wicked Witch. Will you come and help us?
I will, just as soon as I finish eating.
Well, when will you be through?
That's funny. Somebody asked me that same question 20 years ago.
Didn't you ever do anything else but eat?
I don't know. When I get home, I'll look in the diary.
Oh, please help us, Humpty Dumpty. The Wicked Witch stole all of Santa's toys.
Oh, then I'll go with you. And I'll take along this spaghetti to tie her up.
Gosh, you don't eat that much spaghetti.
Don't worry, it won't go to waste.
Oh.
Well, I'll call all my eggs together. Wait, I'm going to blow on this lamb chop.
Oh, what do you think of that? He blew the paper panties right off the chop.
All right, eggs, we're off to get the witch. Keep your sunny sides up.
We're off to get the witch. I hold the chariot. We're off to get the witch. We're hunting for the witch.
There's the witch's castle.
Well, what happened to Humpty Dumpty and his gang? My, how those eggs scrambled.
Well, don't worry, Gracie. The valiant prince will protect you. I'm not afraid.
How do your legs feel?
My legs? Fine.
Then I'll put you down. Herman's tail feathers lead right up to the steps. Wasn't it smart of him to leave a trail for us? If we get the toys back, he'll be a hero.
It'll certainly put a feather in his cap.
Oh, that's not where he needs them.
What a ghastly looking castle.
Oh, wait. Here's one more of Herman's feathers. I'll pick it up and save it for him. Oh, he hasn't dropped this one yet. Oh, my, I'm glad to see you, Herman. Now, quick, you fly to the North Pole and bring back Santa Claus. Oh, and Herman, don't fly backwards. You'll catch cold.
Well, if we're going in to get the Wicked Witch, I better knock on the door. Well, she's gone. Come on, let's go.
No, no, no. Wait, Valiant Prince, I'll knock.
Oh, it's a skeleton.
Sí, soy esqueleto y tengo mucho gusto de verlos por aquí.
My goodness, Mr. Skeleton. You shouldn't walk around that way. You'll catch a death of cold. You want to get goose pimples?
On me, they would not show. I am the witch's butler. Come in.
Oh, poor man. That witch must be a slave driver. Look, he's worked his fingers and everything else to the bone.
Oh, no, senorita. The work here is very easy.
Then how did you become a skeleton?
I was a heavy loser in a street poker game.
Well, come on, Gracie. The witch isn't home, I hope.
Ah, she is expecting you. Step right into the torture chamber and make yourselves comfortable.
Well, will we have to wait long to see the witch?
Oh, no. She just arrived. She is outside tying up her bat.
Oh, was she on one?
Si, senorita. While you are waiting, Senor Prince, would you like an arsenic and soda or a beer?
I'll have a beer.
Fine. Little does he know that the beer is spelled B-I-E-R.
Oh, my, what an adorable torture room. I'll bet she subscribes to the Witch's Home Journal.
Gracie.
Who is it?
It's Aladdin. I sneaked in here and got my magic lamp back, and I'm hiding in this tub of boiling oil.
Oh, well, just keep cool.
Well, don't worry. If there's any way to escape, the Valiant Prince will find it.
Come back from that door.
Well, it was locked anyway.
You know, the witch is not much of a hostess. She's forgotten all about us.
Forgotten you? Not at all, me pretty.
Oh, there you are. Miss Witch, I'd like you to meet my friend, Prince Valiant.
Yes, I saw him once before at a distance, and it's still a shock.
Well, we've come to get Santa Claus's toys back. May we have them?
Patience, me pet. At the moment, I have other plans for you.
Really?
Oh, quite. For the next hour, I will twist the hair down the back of your neck. I will plaster hot mud on your face. I will pluck your eyebrows out one by one.
Oh, what do you charge for a manicure? I always pay cash.
Ah, I'll break your spirit yet. Perhaps it would be better to torture Prince Valiant first and show you how nasty I can be.
No, no, please don't hurt me.
I will summon me ugly slaves.
Yes, your wickedness.
Put Prince Valiant on the stretching machine. Now watch closely, Gracie, while we stretch his body inch by inch.
Come on, come on.
Aladdin, rub the magic lamp and get some help.
I am rubbing it, but all I'm getting is swan soap.
Swan soap? What's that?
What's that?
Why, swan is eight ways better than old-fashioned floating soap.
Aladdin, will you rub the lamp and get some help?
In a minute. Look, witch. Witch, see how white swan is?
My, how good it smells. Come, Kreskin. Turn the screws.
Aladdin, will you rub the lamp? She's going to stretch.
In a minute. And swan is pure and gentle.
Hurry, they're going to break me in two.
They are. Swan is really a twin bar. Break it in two. And use one half in the kitchen and the other half in your bathroom.
Rub the lamp.
And don't forget, witchy, that swan comes in a green wrapper with a white swan on the front.
Help!
Awfully noisy in here, don't you think? Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, I'd love some, Miss Witch.
Come, let's go into my parlor, little fly. That Prince Valiant is really carrying on.
Oh, probably growing pains.
Yeah. Shall I pour the tea?
Please. Oh, my. There's nothing like a cup of good hot tea. Don't you think so? Mm.
You know, you're a most unusual person, Gracie. I may call you Gracie, may I not?
Well, of course,
Gwendolyn.
Oh, of course, Gwen.
As I was saying, you're a most unusual person. You make me feel a little ashamed of myself.
Oh, really? Oh, I just knew you had a good side, Queen. I always say that there's so much worse than the bad of us and so much least in the good of us that it ill best to behoove us to say anything. That's what I always say.
Yeah. And somebody understands you?
Oh, yes. But tell me, how did you become such a wicked person?
Naturally, a man was the cause of it all, my dear. What else can make a woman's heart feel as though it would burst and alternately give her goose flesh and fever?
Well, speaking personally, a Welsh rabbit.
Perhaps. But I shall tell you, Miss Torrey, it begins some years ago at the turn of the century.
Which century?
We won't go into that. It was then that Christopher came into my life. Presently, the whole town was talking of Gwendolyn and Christopher.
Yes, yes, go on.
Ah, what a man. He was like Tyrone Power, and just enough wise muller to make him interesting. Enter!
Pardon my rattling, Senorita Witch, but there is a man outside to see you. He is wearing a red suit and a white beard.
Oh, it's Santa Claus. Come in, Santa.
Oh, Quasey, I got you. Gwendolyn.
Christopher Kringle, you came back to me.
My little dream girl.
Ah, the love of my life. Here's your bag of toys.
Now I can make me Christmas delivery.
And I'll go with you and help spread the joy.
Oh, and now all the kiddies will have a Merry Christmas after all. Isn't that wonderful?
Gracie!
Oh, the Valiant Prince, I almost forgot him.
Come. Gracie, wake up!
Oh, I've been asleep. I've just had the most wonderful dream. Gee, you look short.
Well, come on, let's go up. It's 1 o'clock.
Shh. Herman is still asleep. You'll wake him up.
Well, give him to me. I'll carry him up.
Oh,
oh
now you're welcome, Pa.
Burns and Allen on Tuned to Yesterday from Christmas Eve 1941 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Happy holidays.